Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our study on the book of Job, entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Today we're going to talk about Bildad, who is the second of Job's three friends. As you'll remember, as we've discussed in previous programs, Job was going through tremendous suffering and three of his friends came to comfort him. But as opposed to helping to lighten his burden, they actually became the burden because they did not judge the situation with righteous judgment. They judged based on appearance. They did not speak the truth, and certainly they did not speak in love. So that's how their friendship turned into animosity, hostility, and they became enemies. Let's see the kind of nonsense that Bildad spoke that helped to fuel the fire of this hostility. This is in Job chapter 8 and verses 1 through 6. This is Job chapter 8 and verses 1 through 6. Bildad the Shuhite spoke next and said, "How long will you speak these things, since the words of your mouth are like a strong wind? Does God pervert judgment, or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, and if he cast them away for their transgression, if you would seek earnestly to God and make your prayer to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you and make the dwelling place of your righteousness blessed." I can't tell you how hurtful it must feel to be told by a family friend that your children deserve to die in a tragic accident because they had sinned. I mean, if you're like Job, where you love God, and you love your children, and you look around at evil people that don't even believe there is a God, and you see that their wicked children live a long and prosperous life, you would want to defend yourself and say, "No, no, my children didn't die because they sinned. I always made supplication for them. They didn't deserve to die, and I don't deserve this suffering." It's natural to feel and react this way. I mean, again, let's listen to Bildad's words. He says here, "If your sons have sinned against him, and if he cast them away for their transgression," that's the part where he's saying that your children have died because of their sins. God cast them away because of their transgressions. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, "If you would seek earnestly to God and make your prayer to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would wake for you and make the dwelling place of your righteousness blessed." And Job was like, "No, I prayed for them all the time. I did earnestly seek God. I made my prayer to the Almighty. And yet my dwelling place is not blessed because they're dead now. So don't put this on me." That's the kind of thing that Job was facing when he received this nonsense from people that's supposed to be his friends. And so it's natural to feel and react the way that Job did. And frankly, it's perfectly fine to ask our Heavenly Father, "Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord?" When you're going through something like that, it's perfectly natural to say, "Why me, Lord? How come this is happening to me?" You're wondering. It's like, "What's going on? Tell me what's going on, Lord. Why me?" That's perfectly fine. And frankly, it's perfectly fine to ask it with the greatest intensity as we cry out in the anguish of our soul. I mean, if you've ever been going through something like what Job's gone through, then you're going to be crying out to God to say, "Why me, Lord?" That's natural. It's not to say that we're, you know, being sinful by doing that. That's not the problem. But there is a line that we shouldn't cross. There is a line that we shouldn't cross. Where is that line that we shouldn't cross? Remember that we are to judge according to righteous judgment and not according to appearances. All right? We are to judge righteous judgment and not to judge according to appearances. So if we're judging righteous judgment, then we haven't crossed the line. But if we judge according to appearances, then we have crossed the line because we'll start saying things that are not true. Now, how does God define righteous judgment? If we're supposed to judge righteous judgment, we need to know how God defines righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is defined by God as judging from a perspective of love. Righteous judgment is judging from a perspective of love. We should always ask ourselves these two questions. First, are my thoughts and actions motivated by love? And then two, is the person I'm dealing with, are their thoughts and actions motivated by love? And it can be, in this case, God. If we're talking about God, we're in a situation where we're going through trials. We know that God has all power and that He could stop these bad things from happening to us. So we're dealing with God. We have to ask the question, are God's thoughts and actions motivated by love? So if we are evaluating a situation, judging a situation from a perspective of love, asking ourselves, first and foremost, are we looking at this from eyes of love? Are my thoughts and actions motivated by love? And then the other person, or in this case God, the being that we're dealing with, are their actions motivated by love? Then that's going to help us to make righteous judgment. So keep these questions in mind as we listen to Job's response to Bildad. So we want to see, did Job cross the line of judging according to appearance, which, you know, based on appearance, if we're not judging with love and if we're not giving the other person that we're dealing with that benefit of the doubt, or in this case, if we're not giving God the benefit of the doubt that everything He does is out of love because God is love, and everything that God does is good because God is good all the time, so that even when bad things happen to good people, we know that still God is good. If we're not looking at it in that way, then we'll cross the line and we'll start making accusations about the other person or about God that are false. So let's see how Job responds to Bildad. This is in Job chapter 9 and verses 1 through 4. Job chapter 9 and verses 1 through 4. Job answered Bildad and said, "Truly, I know it is so that my words are like a strong wind, but how can a man be just with God? If a person will argue with God, he can't answer him one of a thousand words. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against God and been blessed?" And then dropping down to verse 14 through 20, Job is saying, "How much less shall I answer him and choose my arguments with him?" And verse 15, now this is key because this is where he begins to cross the line. Job says, "Though I were righteous, yet I would not answer God. I seek mercy for my judgment. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had listened to my voice." You see that? He's actually imputing now wrong motives against God. He's saying, and he's comparing himself to God, and he's saying, though I were righteous, Job is looking at himself and saying, though I were righteous, and I would seek for mercy, yet I would not believe that God had listened to my voice. Wow. Now in verse 17, "He who breaks me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause, who will not allow me to take my breath, but instead fills me with bitterness." This is how he's talking about God, his loving Father. He's saying that God is multiplying his wounds without cause. And you know what? Job is actually correct on that point, because God said of Satan, or to Satan, "Satan, you moved me against Job without cause." So he's right there. He's absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with that particular one. But now let's continue reading, because there is a problem. In verse 18, as we read, "God is not going to allow me to take my breath, but instead he fills me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is mighty. And if I speak of judgment, who shall set a time for me to come in judgment against God?" So we can see here, he's talking about trial language here. In verse 20, "If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me." Now listen to here, because again, this is where he crosses the line. "Though I am perfect, yet God shall declare me perverse." Can you see there how Job has actually crossed the line from simply asking, "Why me, Lord?" to actually imputing wrong motives to God? So Job began to judge this situation based on appearances because he couldn't understand what was happening. So instead of judging righteous judgment and saying that God is doing everything out of love and it must be for my good even though bad things are happening to me, he judged according to appearances. He crossed the line and started to impute bad motives to God. And then finally, let's read in Job chapter 10 and verses 1 through 2 where it says, and this is Job speaking still, "My soul is weary of my life, and I will leave my complaint on myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, 'Do not condemn me. Make me know why you contend with me.'" And then in verses 14 through 18, "If I sin, then you mark me, and you will not acquit me from my iniquity." Verse 15, "If I am wicked, woe to me. And if I am righteous, I will not lift up my head, being filled with shame. For your trouble that is upon me increases. You hunt me as a fierce lion, and again you show yourself marvelous upon me. You renew your witnesses against me, and you increase your anger on me." Now do you see here in verse 14 he says, "You will not acquit my iniquity." And then in verse 17 he says, "You renew your witnesses against me." So he uses the words acquit and witnesses. Do you hear a trial coming on? Well, that's exactly what happens, and we're going to cover that in our next program. But thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, "What is the Mark of the Beast?" The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.